This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. To say that the medical profession of today isn't working is an understatement. We are very good at healing injuries. We are very good at acute care, and everyone will agree with that. But why are our parking lots at doctor's offices so full? Why are our hospitals so full? Why are there lines at the pharmacies? Not because we're getting well, but because we're getting sicker. Our guest today is Dr. William Rawls. He is board certified in obstetrics and gynecology, and he has written a book, Suffered Long Enough. And on a previous program, I talked to him about his journey through fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and Lyme disease. And after we finished the show, we began to talk about the medical profession as it is and our place in it. And Dr. Rawls shared with me some ideas that I want to share with you, listener. So please stay with us here as I talk to Dr. William Rawls about what the future looks like for sickness and health in this country. Dr. Rawls, welcome back to HeartWise.
Thank you very much. I enjoy being here.
Now, let's talk about this here. You have been in practice for a long time, and you are moving now more toward a different model of healing. Describe for us where you're going in your healing journey and in your profession and what the medical profession is doing that caused you to do that. Tell us about that.
All right. I guess it would be good to start with where it began. And I'm actually fourth generation doing this. My great-grandfather was a horse and buggy doctor. My grandfather was a general practitioner, and my father was an OBGYN also. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, I can remember his practice when I was a child back in the 60s, that he had an office. He was just a general practitioner. And at that time, I was really thinking about this the other day, he didn't see any chronic illness. People came to the doctor when they really got sick. Mm-hmm. And so the system has always been designed to address acute illness when people got sick. And before, when his practice time, people were just chronically ill, and the medical system really didn't do much for that. So it wasn't until after the 1960s that we started looking at chronic care. And we still address chronic care acutely. We try to treat chronic diseases with drugs that interrupt processes. And it comes from the successes that occurred in the 40s, 50s, and 60s with antibiotics and vaccines when we were acutely treating illnesses with pharmaceuticals and it worked. But as we've gravitated toward trying to treat chronic diseases with those things, it just doesn't work as well because you're not making the person well. You're not restoring wellness. Basically, all you're doing is interrupting the process of disease artificially so people keep living. Mm-hmm. I call it managed illness, and that's basically what we're doing with most of the system, and our system has become very ingrained in that because it's so heavily supported by the drug industry.
Yeah. So the drug industry came along with drugs targeting symptoms, not targeting disease. Would I be right in saying that?
Correct. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's much of what we do.
Okay.
You've got to get back to that question of what causes disease. And we talked about that with the last show, that there are specific things that interrupt the healing systems in our body and allow us to get sick. And when you start addressing those things, you start making more progress. But that's not the way our system is designed. We have time to basically issue a prescription. We really don't have time. There are no incentives in the system whatsoever to sit and spend time talking to a patient about the things that are making them ill. By design, the system designed around acute care, and you don't have time for that. And it's never been that way.
Yeah.
So best use of the system at this point, I think, is recognizing it for what it is. And, you know, that puts a lot of emphasis on the patient to start looking at ways that they can keep themselves healthy. Because right now, with so many people with chronic illness because of the things that they're doing in life, the system is just being completely overwhelmed. And this treatment of chronic care acutely is extraordinarily expensive. So it's not surprising to see hospital parking lots and doctor's offices full of patients.
You know, I was talking with a cardiologist the other day, and he mentioned that in the hospital where he works, there is a computer system, and he sort of clocks in and clocks out with every patient he sees. And if he goes more than 10 or 12 minutes, he'll hear from administration. They come on his case. They slap his hand. They yell at him. So this is how bad it's gotten. It's no longer the doctor in charge of coming along and figuring out the problem and bringing healing. It is about moving patients through on a 10-minute basis. That can't be good for the patient, Dr. Rawls.
Yep. That's why I'm moving more toward the internet, because I can help so many more people through our website than I was through my office. Mm-hmm. I tried to practice by helping people understand their conditions. All my patients got a lot of handouts and a lot of information, and I never saw more than about 15 patients in a day. Mm-hmm. And with restrictions on reimbursements and the way the system is now, it's hard to make a living at all. Now, if you're a primary care doctor and you're not seeing 25 patients in a day, you're not making a living. And I've even heard from some cardiologists that they push their PAs and nurse practitioners to see 40 patients in a day. It's just insanity.
This fall is coming out some new guidelines here for physicians to follow. Tell us about ICD-10. What is that?
It's a coding system. Right now we're on ICD-9. Mm-hmm. It's generations of coding systems that to get paid for a visit, you have to put down a code for a diagnosis. In other words, if I see a patient and they have painful joints, I have to do an exam and then put down a diagnosis and justify that diagnosis within the electronic medical record system to get paid.
In 15 minutes?
Well, that does add time, but if you play the system well and you have a computer system that's trained to do the quick visits, then you can really knock through a lot of people. But ICD-10 is going to take it to another level. According to the top people who organize Medicare, we're going from a fee-based system to a quality-based system. And you have to meet the definition of quality to get paid. In other words, instead of just putting down a diagnosis, a practitioner would have to see the patient, file for the correct diagnosis, document the right physical findings, but also document the therapy. And if you're using a therapy, like for an elevated cholesterol, if I recommended natural therapies and diet instead of writing for a prescription, and now it's all electronically done, so the prescription is documented, they can see whether I have written that prescription or not. If I don't write that prescription, I don't get paid. I haven't met the quality standards. And the drug companies are really heavily behind all of this.
Oh, yeah.
So that they're very much influencing what that quality standard is. So again, for acute care, you know, you fall off a ladder or break your leg or something like that, our system is the best in the world.
Yes.
It truly is.
Yes.
For chronic care, it's time for people to start paying attention and taking care of themselves.
My, I've had people say that we really need to become our own primary care physician. Now, you have created a website that helps people understand what's going on. And also, you have written the book Suffered Long Enough, a lot of information in there. The subtitle of the book is Physician's Journey of Overcoming Fibromyalgia, Chronic Fatigue, and Lyme. Let me spend just a moment with you on these fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and Lyme. They seem to be the catch-all diseases that when a physician can't figure out what you have, they say, well, you have chronic fatigue, you have Lyme, or you have fibromyalgia. Would I be wrong in saying that?
Correct. Basically, these are diseases that don't have a lab value that specifies that diagnosis. So it's just a collection of symptoms. But this gets back to a problem that I have in the whole system, and that's the concept of diagnosis. When you look at any diagnosis, you find that the margins blur between diagnoses. And diagnosis, the reason for a diagnosis is that you pick the right therapy. And because the therapy in our system is basically drug therapy, you better have the right diagnosis or you might hurt somebody. But what you find is all of these people out there that don't quite have the diagnosis. Well, my doctor told me I had a lot of symptoms of MS, but the labs don't show or the tests don't show I have MS. So everybody's out there in this quasi zone of whether they have a diagnosis or not. I see disease more of as a continuum. So when you go back and you start looking at the disease from the point of causes and cumulative damage, you see that what diagnosis someone is going to end up with is very much defined by the environmental factors, their genetic makeup, which microbes they may be exposed to along the way. And those kinds of things are going to define which direction they're going to go. So I almost see diseases like chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia as pre-diagnosis disease. In other words, it's on that continuum that sooner or later somebody's going to end up with multiple sclerosis or autoimmune disease or Parkinson's disease down that line, but they're not quite there yet. And that's typically what you see is people with those kinds of conditions, ultimately they'll end up developing these other kinds of things. So I see fibromyalgia as a wonderful opportunity to get someone before they end up with a real diagnosis. And if we can start helping them change their lifestyle and their habits and add in comprehensive herbal therapy regimens, then we can get them before they ever have a real diagnosis and make them well. So it's a totally different approach than the conventional medical system. And I'm finding how absolutely powerful it is. It's really cool.
Is marijuana a good idea for you? I'm Dr. James Markham. A recent college student in Colorado ate some edible marijuana in a cookie. He ate one, didn't bother him at all. No effect. He ate six. He became irrational, jumped off his balcony, and died. Well, marijuana comes in different forms, from cookies to gummy bears to inhalational agents. Well, how can marijuana hurt you? Affects your memory, affects your movement, lowers your IQ, 9% become addicted, and this year alone, 12% of those over 12 will use marijuana. Is marijuana good for you? The answer is no. Look at the evidence. For more about marijuana, read my blog at heartwiseministries.org.
I'd like to think that one day, when we get to heaven, we're going to see a list of people. People like Jared and Susan, who were introduced to Jesus because of something we said. Or maybe it was as simple as a passing smile. But these people will look into their past and be able to say, "I'm here because of you." Recently, you may have heard that Heartwise Ministries has begun spreading the gospel to the young, the old, the sick, and the healthy. We want to take this type of medical programming to the non-believer and the person who has closed themselves off to traditional forms of outreach. If you believe as we do and want to support Heartwise so that together we can count more names on the Tree of Life, please consider donating today at heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Our guest today is Dr. William Rawls. He is the author of Suffered Long Enough, A Physician's Journey of Overcoming Fibromyalgia, Chronic Fatigue, and Lyme Disease. He also operates a website, www.vitalplan.com. That's www.vitalplan.com. As you were saying, Dr. Rawls, we really need to take charge of our own health. We need to become our own primary care physician. Do you see this changing at all in the medical profession? Do you see a groundswell in medical schools among young medical students who are coming along saying, hey, listen, I don't want to spend my life as a drug dealer. I want to do something different here. Is that happening at all anywhere?
Not in medical schools yet. When you have something that's well established, it takes a long time to change that. And if you look back at history, when things become established, it's actually a grassroots effort from people to change it. And that's what I see happening right now, is a grassroots effort across the country of people starting to recognize just intuitively that a lot of things that we're doing, toxins in our environment, the food we eat, all of these things are actually contributing to disease, and they're starting to change them. It seems like doctors are the last to get that message.
Yes, yes.
And so many doctors are just, they're not trained for this. But it's going, it's coming. It's coming. I think we're maybe 5 to 10 years off from some pretty big changes. Mm-hmm. But because the system is so adamant about not changing it, I think that's pushing people harder to take care of their own health so they don't end up in this managed illness situation. So I think it is pushing us in the right direction, and the harder the medical system resists change, the more that's going to propel change. Oddly enough. So we're going in the right direction, just maybe not as you would think we would or should.
Let's just spend the last 5 minutes of this program talking about what that means to the patient. And as you were talking along here, how we need to be our own primary care physician and how we have expectations of the medical field to step in and fix us, which they really can't when it comes to a chronic disease. Here's a scenario. A person goes in and says, hey, he sees this cardiologist, and the cardiologist says, you have high blood pressure and you have high cholesterol. You need to take a statin. Okay, that's path number one. But that patient goes to a website like Vital Plan or someplace else like that and says, if you change your diet, you're going to bring your blood pressure and your chronic disease of heart disease, and you don't have to take a statin. You can change your diet. Suddenly, the responsibility for health is transferred from the doctor to the patient. That's a tough sell for some people because they want a quick fix. Am I on the right track here?
They are, and they always will. I think that's human nature, and it always will be. Mm-hmm. But people get to the point that they realize, or at least many people I've found get to the point where they realize it's a false promise.
And that's where you got. That's why I'm bringing this up. You came to that point yourself. What was it that just tipped you over the edge when you had fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and Lyme disease, and you realized that the medical profession wasn't doing it for you? What was the impetus that made you change what you did?
I just recognized that the medications that they were offering were actually making my health worse instead of better. And you look at these foreign chemicals that we put in our body, you have to ask some questions. And don't get me wrong, I think there is a place for every drug that's been manufactured.
Yes, yes.
I think there is a place for drug therapy, but I think it needs to be properly utilized. And I think right now, what I find and what I see is that drugs are being overutilized and excessively utilized. But when you look at drugs, by nature, they're basically toxins in themselves. I mean, we're basically using what the equivalent of a therapeutically dosed poison to interrupt processes in the body to keep a reaction, symptom, blood pressure, whatever, from happening. And that's a tax on the body. It's a tax on the liver and everything else. So the less we can use drugs, the better off we are. Acutely, drugs really do have a place.
Absolutely.
I mean, if a patient walks in my door and they've got a blood pressure of 220 over 120, they're not going to get out the door without a blood pressure medication.
Yes, yes.
But I'm also going to talk to them about why their blood pressure is elevated and what they can do over time to restore normal vascular function so they aren't going to have to use that drug, or they can use a lesser dose of the drug and that's less toxic. So even statin drugs, even though there are a lot of problems with them, they do have a place in certain individuals that have had cumulative damage that you can't get that cholesterol down otherwise. But what I see is doctors going straight to the highest dose of the statin drug.
Yes, yes.
And not recognizing, not paying attention to that really significant toxicity that's associated with that drug. Mm-hmm. So we need to start paying attention. I think it's really important.
There is the bottom line from Dr. William Rawls today. We need to start paying attention. And where, if you could identify one area in our lives where we are not paying the attention, you listed a number of them in your book, but what do you think is the number one area that we need to start waking up, looking around and saying, hey, I'm not doing this right and it's making me sick? Where would that be?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think it's more just living, it's living a centered life, eating good food, looking at how much stress you want to bring upon yourself, you know, working harder and pushing all the stress limits isn't necessarily going to bring a better life in a lot of cases. It's that balance that we all need to be looking for, and what I see is so many people are completely out of balance. They're not centered. So it's just a simple matter of bringing your life back to being centered. And it's really a wholesome, wonderful way to live.
Oh, it is so refreshing, Dr. Rawls, to hear you say these things, because our listeners have come to expect that from the people we have on this program, and you have delivered so beautifully a prescription for health, and that is to go back to that centered life, to realize that what we do, everything that we do, has an impact on our health. What we eat, our lack of or amount of exercise, the stress that we carry, all of these things are not simply nuisances. These are items in our life that can affect us in profound ways. And I want to invite your listener to Dr. Rawls' website. It is www.vitalplan.com. He talks about herbal supplements there. He has other resources and information. And, of course, his book, Suffered Long Enough, A Physician's Journey of Overcoming Fibromyalgia, Chronic Fatigue, and Lyme, that is available there as well. And I just recommend that you get a copy and read through it. Visit the website, see what he has to offer, and then make those changes. Because what he just said is, we're in charge. We are the ones that make the decision. We are our primary care physicians. We need to start realizing that and taking action. And some of those actions, what I was trying to say before, some of the actions may require changes in our lives. You can take a pill or you can make a change. The pill is going to help you with the symptom. The change is going to help you with the disease. And I think that's very important. Am I on the right track here, Dr. Rawls?
Perfect. Yep.
Very
good. Thank you so much, Charles.
Very good. Okay. Again, vitalplan.com and the book Suffered Long Enough by Dr. William Rawls, R-A-W-L-S. Dr. Rawls, thank you so much for coming back on the program and sharing with us. We sure appreciate your words of wisdom. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. William Rawls, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. Heartwise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.